Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Jo Malone London, with a special mention going to its Myrrh and Tonka fragrance. Whether you're shopping for your partner, a best friend or parent, it is the ultimate unisex scent. Heady and velvety, it has amber and vanilla inside, which is the perfect balance of sweetness and warmth. Plus, like Jo Malone London's other best-selling fragrances, it's available in a number of iterations, from deluxe candles to room sprays and body cream. Don't miss its Myrrh and Tonka diffuser either, which will last you for months and immediately fill your room with that addictive scent, creating a cosy atmosphere. To shop all gifting, head over to jomalone.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Sherry Andrew. Today I'm joined by Harriet Russell, Polly Sayer and Vanessa Menrad. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Well, I mean, it's exciting because I'm in the hot seat today.
Yeah, baby. Woo!
She's in the hot seat.
Yes, Sherry is hosting, so do go gently. But how's everyone been? What's been going on? I'll come to you first, Vanessa.
I'm quite relaxed, I have to say. I've had a very relaxed week. After, like, last week of, like, been on holiday and stuff, this weekend was very, very chill for me. I cooked a bolognese on Friday. I actually cooked my veggie bolognese, which is like a family recipe that I turned vegetarian, for my Italian friends. Ooh, and it was quite a risky move. But I thought, you know, I'll try. See, because her boyfriend is vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And they loved it. Oh, and I was so happy. Because this is my dad's recipe that I've kind of like taken and kind of changed into a vegetarian version. So yeah, I was very, very hyped up about that.
And are you vegetarian full-time? Mm.
Yes, well, I'm vegetarian, part-time pescatarian, I'd say. I don't buy fish, but when I'm in a restaurant, sometimes I will go for fish. This isn't meat.
Yeah, that
yeah one. Exactly. Yeah. This one tastes the closest to actual beef in a bolognese scenario.
Okay.
But you can make it the same way. Like, because what I struggled with a lot of times is you add the red wine, mm-hmm, and then a lot of the veggie versions just soak the wine up and then there's no liquid left. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what it is within them, but yeah, this one works really well. And I've got my stamp of approval by my Italian friends. So I was really happy about that. That was my Friday night.
Praise from Italians as well.
I was going to say, if the Italians love it, then that's all you really need.
I called my dad. I was like, that's it. We made it. Our recipe book is pending.
I would buy that.
Yeah.
I'd be buying that, Vanessa.
And then the rest of the weekend, it was literally just, you know, when you've been away and then the weekend after, you just, it's like a reset. Like everything gets like, you know, you do all the washing, you do the cleaning. Mm-hmm. I did every other Saturday, I like to sit down with like tons of recipe books and like online and just pick what I want to cook for the next few weeks. Like,
that's
pick,
very like, organized. Mm-hmm. And then do you write it down or do you just have it in your mind?
Yeah, I write down like my top 10 and then pick the ones I actually want to make. I try to pick ones where the ingredients are slightly similar so I don't have a lot of waste of food. And then I do my food shop and I just shop for the meals rather than just buying random stuff because I feel that's become such a ritual now. And I really, really, like, I'll sit there for like 2 hours with my cup of coffee and all my cookbooks around me, just trying to figure out what to make.
Gosh, so nice. I wish I was that organized.
Me too.
I'm not, but it's like, this is why it only happens every 2 weeks. Because then the next week after, it'll be like every day to Tesco, like, what should I eat tonight?
Yeah.
I can't do it like every week.
And are you
generally
cooking for yourself? Or do you have roommates that you cook for?
No, I mainly just cook for myself. I like to cook for people. So I like to invite my friends too. But usually it's just, I cook for two and then eat one and have the other one the next day at work.
Mm. That's a good idea. Because it's quite hard to like have new recipe ideas just for one portion.
Exactly. So yeah, it's very, very relaxing. And then on Sunday, we actually watch the last of the Twilight saga. Every year, we in autumn, we watch all the Twilight movies because, you know.
Every year?
Every year.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it was Breaking Dawn time last night with a McDonald's.
Oh, that's nice. A vibe.
Honestly, it was great.
I feel like the Twilight movies were such a time when we were like teens.
Yeah.
And now watching them as adults, you see different things, don't you? Some of it's not quite right. Some of it's like hilarious.
You mean how this teenage girl gives up her entire life for someone she's no fucking.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's not forget about the imprinting on a child.
Yes, imprinting on a child.
Exactly. Yeah, Red flags, left, right, and centre.
But we watch it almost as comedy though. It's so funny. It's like the quotes that they pull, and then Jacob taking a shirt off every 2 seconds. Well, yeah. You know, it's fun.
You can turn that into a drinking game.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, so that was not that much like to tell, just very chill, relaxed.
Cooking, love that.
Really wholesome. Yeah.
Really wholesome. Nice. What about you, Polly? You are in your travel era right now.
Thank you, girl. Yeah, I feel like I am too. Yeah, I just got back last night from about 10 days away. We flew to Miami, spent 2 nights in Miami. That was really fun. Mm-hmm. And then flew to the British Virgin Islands and did a week sailing around there, which was really fun. Like, you know, it was not kind of below deck style, just sitting and getting served stuff and drinking champagne. It was like, we're actually sailing the boat, and I have never sailed before. Harry, my boyfriend, was the skipper and has done that kind of that skipper course. So he was kind of the one teaching us all how to do it. And it was honestly so great. I was quite apprehensive because historically I've always got quite seasick. And I was like, is this going to be a week of like pure hell? Mm. But it wasn't. It was absolutely beautiful. And I took my sickness tablets. I was a bit sick on the first day. But then I think I got my sea legs. And it really helps when you're in basically paradise. It's just so beautiful around there. So just sailed kind of around the island, stopped off, moored up, you know, had a little look around and ate some nice food. And yeah.
Sounds dreamy.
It was really dreamy. Yeah, I bloody loved it. And
were you scared? I feel like for me, I would find that quite terrifying, just being like out in the open.
It wasn't terrifying just from like the perspective of being on a boat, but I was quite scared that like it is essentially camping and I'm not a good camper. Like,
I see, yeah.
I was like, I'm not gonna have like a proper shower, I'm not gonna have like clean clothes, I'm not gonna have, I don't know, a hairdryer or anything like that. So I was a bit like, oh God, how am I gonna manage? But I don't know, I think I got used to it. I mean, like, obviously I was quite glad to be reunited with my bed and my shower and like a, you know, proper toilet and things like that by the end of the trip, but it's kind of nice to, I don't know, not have to bother with kind of all the things that you usually have to a bit, like, you know, doing your hair and whatever. So
yeah,
I enjoyed going back to basics a little bit. And yeah, it was lovely.
Did you sleep out at sea?
On the boat every night. Yeah. So it's quite like, I mean, you're obviously more up into like, you know, a bay or whatever. So you're not like in the middle of the ocean or whatever, but
I just imagine like a little boat in the middle,
just stuck like out on the open seas. But yeah, it's quite a like, interesting experience, isn't it? Just being out on the water the whole time, and yeah, really cool. But we stopped off some really cool islands. Went to Necker Island one night, which is obviously the one Richard Branson lives on, and
very nice.
Yeah, very cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like such a cool experience and perfect time of year to go and get some sunshine. Because obviously it's quite cold and horrible here.
Yes, I mean, you chose the right time. Do you have, so my question would be, what are your packing tips? Because what would you even pack for that kind of adventure?
So like, top tip is to not pack a suitcase. Like, a soft bag is essential, I would say. Like, one that's waterproof and like a duffel bag. Because once you get on, I mean, maybe it's different on like a massive catamaran or a big super yacht or whatever. But on one of these kind of monohull sailing boats, there's not a whole lot of room to go around, so a small bag will help you out. And just don't overpack is my one piece of advice. Like, I just spent most of the time in a lot of swimwear, so just pack swimwear and maybe a couple of like, you know, linen shorts and a linen shirt. I had a couple of like matching sets, and that's pretty much what I lived in. I mean, by the end they were quite disgusting, but I just don't think you need to overpack really. So if you are doing something like that and you're going somewhere hot, yeah, just pallets somewhere.
That makes sense. Minimalism is key.
Yeah, minimalism is key. But yeah, that's my most recent trip, and then just before that went to Stockholm for a little break, which was so nice. Completely different, but equally lush. So I went with And Other Stories, and they very kindly took a group of us to go and visit their atelier. So I don't know if you've seen on their, like, on their website, they're like, this is made in our LA atelier or a Stockholm atelier, but they actually exist, the ateliers. And yeah, I went to this very beautiful office of theirs, which is, it's just, it's like going into one of their stores, if you know what I mean, but a bit more office-y.
I was
going to
say, they do quite well.
They really do. Very chic. Met some of the designers who are all obviously achingly cool, but really friendly. I feel like, not to generalise too much, but like I find Scandinavian people really lovely and friendly for the most part. And yeah, I got to see how they kind of design their collections, which is really cool. So I got a little sneak peek at some things to come, which was very exciting. Their summer collection looks amazing if you want something to look forward to. And obviously got to explore Stockholm a bit, which was a real treat. It's a really, really cool city. I think if you like Copenhagen kind of thing, it's really beautiful and quite small. Yeah. It's also not hugely populated. It feels quite quiet in a nice way. You know how like London sometimes feels a bit like, whoa, God, there's so many people. I was like, where is everyone? It feels very just relaxed and nice.
It's a very small population. I think it's like an eighth of what London is.
I think it's, so only it's really small. About a million or something. It's, yeah, it's really quite small. The food scene there is also great, and the shopping. Like if you're into that, it's just really great. Like if you want a little city break. We stayed at Hotel Villa Dagmar, which is really central and like a really, really beautiful hotel. So if you're looking for somewhere nice to stay in the centre, I'd really recommend that.
Lovely.
Yeah,
amazing. I mean, I love Stockholm. One of my favorite things is like you don't really have to book a restaurant, which is such a unique thing. Obviously here you have to book ahead in advance, like by about 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you just walk in.
Yeah,
like, yeah, we've got space for you.
Yeah,
oh, it's a dream.
It's refreshing, isn't it?
Very.
I wonder why that is. Just because it's lower population people. Overall. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And how about you, Sherry?
So I had, I mean, the weather was crap, wasn't it? The weekend.
Was crap.
It was not giving anything. But I had a really nice Saturday. So Lemira and I had a bit of a date day. So we did a bit of shopping, went to Soho. We walked through Hyde Park to South Kensington, went to the V&A, which was just really nice, especially when it's raining. Like, if
Team
in doubt.
Water in the rain, though.
I mean, it was like drizzling, but I don't really mind it. It's when it's
you're a winter girly, aren't you?
I'm a winter girly. However, my New Balances, RIP, they were white. Now they are soaking in a bucket of stone remover. I know. They'll be fine. I think I'll put them in the washing machine.
Yeah. But
they'll be fine. You know, such is life. And we didn't really see an exhibition. We just had like a little walk around because I never really look at the permanent collections, any museum really. I kind of go for the exhibitions, but I was like, you know what? I can do a bit of Renaissance, bit of Tudor. And then we walked back and went to Bao's Inn, which is the nicest dumpling place in Soho. Ooh. And it's very affordable. Mm. They're so lovely in there. And you can always get a table on a Saturday night.
Oh, that's good.
It's great, yeah. So we went on like 6 Saturday evening and we were like, I'm so sorry. Had to preface that. I haven't booked, but do you have a table? He's like, yeah, of course, come in.
Oh, that's so nice.
Really nice. And so we had lots of dim sum. We were basically killing time because we were going to Ronnie Scott's in the evening.
Oh, cool.
So, which is my favourite.
Never been to Ronnie Scott's.
I was going to say, you talk about it a lot, I feel.
I feel like I've been a few times this year just because it's so good.
Is it?
I mean, it's like a Soho institution for a reason, that the people that I've played over there over the years are like the big stars. But I never really know who I'm going to see. It's just like, it's always good jazz. And if you get tickets for the late show, which I think starts at like 9:15, you can stay for the late show, and then they have a DJ and you can dance. It's just really fun.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a really good vibe, and also the cocktails are really nice, and it's just like a great like, oh, I'm living, I'm out in Soho, I'm not at home.
Yeah,
it's kind of that vibe.
Such a cute date, like day.
It was
like,
very cute,
like the whole package.
It was, and it was pretty impromptu, apart from Ronnie Scott's. So yeah, I mean, and then yesterday I was just testing out my new air fryer.
Hello,
chef's
kiss. Air fryer.
Oh, Vanessa, you need to get,
dream.
It's so good. So I've got the Duolit one with like the, it's got a big basket that you just take out and whack anything in. And yes, I use it 3 times. Oh. Once to make chicken, once to make a cookie, and another time.
A single cookie.
Yeah, because it's very energy efficient. So all you need to do is like take it out, pop it on, done. And then I made some baked oats, which I've been having in the morning, which if you like overnight oats, it's like a warm version. Oh. I would highly recommend. I saw a video on TikTok. And I was like, that looks delicious.
How do you make them baked?
So you just add all of like your overnight oats ingredients, like you do yogurt or milk with your oats. I add a little bit of protein powder, some vanilla, I put cocoa in yesterday, chocolate chips, nuts, anything you basically want to put in.
Yeah, nice.
And I put it into a loaf tin, put it in the air fryer or the oven for like 20 minutes, and it comes out like a little cake.
Oh my God, delightful.
Yeah. Aww. Bit of baking powder, actually. That's a key ingredient. Otherwise, it doesn't rise. Right. So yeah, that was my chilled Sunday.
Nice. Yeah, very wholesome vibe.
Very wholesome. And then I thought, you know what? I'm a Celebrity is on.
Yes.
Has anybody... Well, it was on last night for
that
listeners.
First episode.
Yes, so listeners, it will be we're 1 week in.
Okay.
Is anyone watching it? What do we think?
So I didn't watch it last night, but I fully plan on watching this series because it has got some good people in it.
It's got a good lineup, bar one, obviously Nigel Farage. Who wants to see him on screen? No one.
No one except I do want to see him get barbed by the other contestants.
That's true.
So I think there was a clip online this morning of, was it Josie Gibson giving him like quite hard, like the opening montage where they're all like going into the jungle and they do different stunts and stuff. And like he's with her and something goes wrong and he's saying, oh God, you know, is this what it's going to be like? And she apparently turns to him and goes, it can't be worse than Brexit.
I mean, fair. To be fair, that's quite tame. You could have said a lot worse, Josie.
I know, but she's right out the gate. Like, yeah. She's not going to let him off the hook once. Not. And I thought, this is going to be good.
I think it'll get the viewers, won't it?
I mean, he's been paid a sickening amount to be on there.
And then apparently Jamie Lynn Spears, Britney Spears' sister,
got
through the whole of the first episode without mentioning that she's related to Britney Spears.
I mean, I think you probably know, people will know who she is.
She looks just
like her.
She
need to introduce herself, really. She does.
She's Zoe
101. Yeah.
She is Zoe 101. I used to watch that all
the time. Yeah. I used to want to be her. When I was as in not Jamie Lynn Spears, Zoe 101.
Oh, Zoe 101.
Oh, yeah.
Such a cool school.
So yeah, she's in it. Nella Rose, YouTuber. Who else? Grace Dead. It's got a pretty good lineup. But good. It's Anton Deck. I just cannot stand them.
I know. I can't stand
them. Like them?
No. I know they're national treasures, but I just don't see that. Are you guys fans?
I think they're really funny. I have to say, and maybe it's like a love or hate thing, but I don't know. I think they really make the show. I think I probably wouldn't watch it if they weren't posting it.
I mean, if it wasn't them, who would do it? That's the thing.
Dermot O'Leary.
But I don't think he's got the same, not that I like them, but I don't think he's got the same gravitas. No?
Do you not think? I just think he did X Factor for years. Like, I think he's got the same level of experience for sure.
Yeah.
And I think he is like approachable and funny.
Yeah. I think they're silly little jokes in the like in between bits where they're like obviously so kind of silly and obvious, but I don't know, they just really makes me laugh. I really have a very simple sense of humour.
No, that's why people love them though.
I think I might tune in.
Well, yeah, let's see.
Vanessa probably didn't grow up with them in the same way we did.
So don't you worry, because we have a German version of the whole show as well.
Oh, really?
I don't know how it is in the UK, but in Germany it's very much like reality TV stars go on it.
It's not like top tier celebrities going on.
I've never watched the English version. I heard you guys now talking about who's the contestants, but I have so little interest in it that it hasn't even shown up on my TikTok or Instagram.
Got it.
So I'm completely disconnected.
Not on your radar.
I feel like that's one of those things though I want to start watching to Love Island. I started watching because I was like, everyone watches it here. So I'm going to, I like watching something that a lot of other people are also watching, so chat about it.
Oh, exactly.
It's always water cooler talk. That's what I always say. There was a couple of seasons ago I didn't really want to watch Strictly. I still don't watch it now. But I knew that everyone at Sherlock's was obsessed with it back in the day.
Yeah.
And I was starting here in 2 weeks. And I was like, I'm going to watch Strictly because I need to be able to part the conversation.
Yes,
I think I started
watching
it for the same reason. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, I don't really watch Strictly. And then Lou and Charlotte were like, oh my God, Pete, you don't watch Strictly. And I was like... guess I'm gonna have to.
Because they dance.
Optional.
I love the dancing.
It is great.
This season has been very good.
Has it?
I haven't really been watching this season.
What is going on with Bobby and Diane then?
Bobby and Diane, well...
because they're in the Daily Mail every single day.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm still reading the Daily Mail for anyone who watched the podcast 3 weeks ago when I said I would stop.
I mean, he was in the dance-off last night.
The dance-off?
Yeah, but
I think
so
it was unfair.
Young. No, I don't think so.
Oh, so
I think because they're getting to after the halfway point, after Blackpool, where, people
was
are...
Was this week Blackpool or was
yes,
it?
Yes, this week's Blackpool. I'm just here for Leighton. To be fair, he does have some kind of... theatrical, theatre performance,
background.
Yeah, what's the line there? Do you know,
I know
what I mean?
What
point can you
people on it who clearly have some dance experience? Yeah, you're like, they
it's a debate that's raged for years, hasn't it? Because didn't Alicia Dixon win one of the series.
I think she did.
Like, she literally had been in performing arts school since she was like 11. Mm-hmm. Then she was a pop star in Mystique, absolute golden age.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes on Strictly and it's like and against some poor rugby player.
Yeah, but I think there has to be someone who's that level.
Otherwise it's not going to be great watching.
Exactly.
Good. But then, yeah, I do feel like I wasn't one of the Pussycat Dolls on it one year. And like, Kimberly, they are literally dancers who are like put together and like, you can make a pop group now. But I think they were essentially backing dancers. And like, obviously, she was brilliant because she's a dancer. Mm. It does feel a little unfair to people who have like never done it before.
But I take both sides,
to be honest. Like, but I think, to be fair, I think having like commercial like street dance is very different to like the ballroom side. Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This is what Shirley says to like different training. So, but it has been a very good season. Mm. It's not too late to start, girlies.
Yeah, and I haven't watched this year. I watched last year and I loved it so much. I was like obsessed with it. And this year I completely like missed it. And you know when you don't start in time and then you're like, oh, have I missed too much now?
You've got to start. Yeah.
I really miss the old Strictly format, though. So back when it first ever started, I think the last series I watched was when, like, properly, was when Abby Clancy won.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, I'm sure they were still doing it this way, which is, like, particularly, like, the behind-the-scenes video training. It was, like, really organic. They would literally just go in with a camera and film them training.
Yeah.
And, like, some bits would be naturally funny and some bits would be more serious or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it all felt really real. And now, isn't it, like, every single week, every single couple, it's, like, a gimmick.
They're doing some kind of activity.
Oh, yeah. It drives me mental.
Just fast forward that. I don't watch that bit. I just condense it to the dances and the scores.
I don't love those bits.
I just feel like the format of the show has got so cheesy. I just wish they'd sort of strip it back a bit.
But yeah, I hear what you mean.
It's very jazz hands, isn't it?
It is.
You either love it or hate it.
That's why it's Christmas though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what else has everyone else been watching? Anything to recommend?
I mean, I really feel like I haven't been watching anything because...
To be fair, you've been
on
the boat.
I'm on holiday. sorry, that's such an ick, isn't it? I genuinely just feel like I'm so behind on TV. So has anyone else got something to recommend to me? Because I feel like I'm home now and I need to get stuck into something juicy.
I just finished over the weekend. Complete sort of chance. I just came across it on Netflix. Never heard anything about it. Called Living With Yourself.
Okay.
Paul Rudd. No
okay.
one?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting concept. So the main thing I love about it is that it's 8 episodes of 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a massive investment and you can kind of binge it all in one weekend if you want to. And the essential concept is he plays this guy. He works in advertising. They live in sort of suburban Connecticut or whatever. And he is basically depressed because his job isn't going that great. Like, he's kind of middle management, but he can't get through like to the next promotion. His wife's played by Aisling Bea, who I absolutely love. But she's not playing a comedy role at all in this. Mm-hmm. There are moments of black comedy, but overall I'd say it's a serious role for her.
Mm-hmm.
While you can see that their marriage is like okay, they are experiencing struggles with IVF, which is like weighing really heavily, plus mm-hmm. the fact that his job isn't going that well. He just doesn't feel great about himself. And at work, he is told by this guy about this, like, this is where it sounds a bit weird, about this secret spa that exists on like the outskirts of town where he can go and basically be like rejuvenated and he'll feel much better about himself.
Ooh.
So he takes this guy's advice. It's extremely expensive. So he drains the account that they've been saving for their IVF because he's so desperate.
Oh, goodness.
I know. Drives out to the spa. So then the next thing he knows, he's like taken into the back and they're like, oh yeah, we're going to just use like a gentle anesthetic. You'll kind of like go, it's almost like a sedative. You'll just sort of like go to sleep and then you'll feel much better when you wake up. Which frankly sounds a bit dodgy, but he goes with it. The next thing you know, and this is gruesome, but he wakes up in a shallow grave.
Okay.
And
but, what?
And oh that is the gosh. Opening montage. So
oh,
everything
I've advertised.
Yeah, so the everything now, I've just told you is like context, but the opening montage is him like crawling out of this shallow grave.
Ooh,
because he
okay.
comes to. And then he's like, oh God, I don't feel any different. I don't know why I'm in this shallow grave. I guess I'll just go home.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So then he goes home and it's like quite late at night by this point, and he hears his wife upstairs with another man.
Oh no. I feel like
Lord.
I know
what she's leading.
Yeah. Has he been like replaced with a better version of himself or something?
So he like he tiptoes into the garage, I think, and gets an axe because he's thinking that there might be an intruder or like he doesn't know if his wife's having an affair or whatever. And he's like walking. And then the other guy comes down the stairs and they get into like a massive fist fight where like they're trying to wrestle the axe from each other. And then they like slam together and they realize they're looking at the same person.
Oh, wow.
So this isn't a spoiler to say this.
No, this is all like
okay
context, basically. It's all scene setting for what the series is going to be about. But basically they've cloned him.
I knew it.
Oh, that sounds really good.
That sounds really good.
I'm into this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his clone version is like really happy, really clean cut, like looks after himself, isn't depressed, really enthusiastic at work, really wants to try hard with his wife to have this baby. Like obviously the complete opposite of what he's been experiencing.
Right.
And it's basically then the next 7 episodes are about like how he handles the fact that no one in the shallow grave is supposed to wake up. Like, something's gone wrong there.
Oh, so they just claim them, shove one in the grave, and then they send back the same
person.
Yeah. But, like, actually it's a
into the world. So this is like, gone wrong in the Matrix.
Gosh.
Like,
okay.
He wasn't supposed... There isn't supposed to be 2 of you wandering around.
Mm.
So it's about how they, like, use each other to each other's advantages.
Wow.
The impact it has on his wife, like, when she eventually finds out. And it's...
Oh, God, I'm going to add that to my list. That sounds brilliant.
That sounds great.
It sounds very Black Mirror.
Very Black Mirror.
Vibe.
I sometimes struggle with Black Mirror because sometimes it feels a bit too
close
to
home.
And then I have like nightmares about it. I didn't have nightmares about this. It's, and Paul Rudd is amazing because you realise, obviously, he's having to do these scenes twice, essentially. Mm-hmm. And you actually realise what a range he must have as an actor to play like this very depressed version of himself versus this like happy-go-lucky version.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
He's really good. I was really impressed. Like I say, I love Aisling Bea. She's really good in it.
And what's it called and where can we find
this? It's called Living With Yourself and it's on Netflix.
Great.
Okay.
Nice. Add to watch list.
Mm. Yeah.
And like I say, not a massive investment. So if you sort of get halfway through and think it's not for you, you'll probably have only maybe spent an evening with it or something.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant.
Thanks. Mm. Vanessa, have you been watching anything or reading?
Yes, but I've been watching 2 things like on and off, although... So the first thing I'm watching is, was it All the Light We Cannot See?
Mm-hmm. Yes, tell.
But I'm so far not that impressed. At first I was like, you know, it got quite emotional quite quickly. It's about this blind girl who lives in a French town that's occupied by the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a German, I don't actually know what his like level is, but he's like some sort of commander or something who's looking for her, but no one in the village is like willing to give her up. And she has every evening at the same time, she like broadcasts her reading certain parts of a book, which obviously is like some sort of code for the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people don't tell on her. And then at the same time, there's this German soldier. He's like some sort of genius with radios. And he started listening to the same channel that this girl used to listen to when she was young. And she's broadcasting on that channel. So he listens to her every night, realizing she's in the same town because he hears the bombs. What I didn't like about it was it gets quite a... sometimes the conversations are a little bit too cheesy, like a little almost okay. Like there's like throwbacks of her as a kid, you know, leaving Paris with her dad, mm-hmm. and the way they speak to each other, I'm like, if you like, they're not literally walking, they're walking mm-hmm. out of Paris because Paris has just been taken over by the Nazis. Mm-hmm. The train stations were just suddenly closed, like, you know, no one could get out, so they had to like walk by foot out of Paris, try and find somewhere to live. Mm. And them two are just walking, and then they just speak to each other in like these poetic sentences. And I'm like, surely you'd be so stressed. You don't know where you're going to sleep tonight. Like, yeah. you have a child with you. You mm-hmm. wouldn't speak like, I will always love you. You are always my favorite. You know, it was like very like, it just feels a bit OTT. Yeah, there's something about it that I'm just, at the minute, I'm just missing. A bit like,
Because it's based on the book of the same name, isn't it? Yeah. Which is supposed, I haven't read it, but it's supposed to be incredible.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed. But I now I'm like, maybe I should read the book. Yeah. Rather than, I mean, it's not bad, it's mm-hmm. not, but it's not, I'm not blown away. Okay. I was hoping for a lot more. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I'm watching something completely different. Have you ever watched Upload?
No.
So there's two seasons have been out for years now. There's a third season that literally came out a few weeks ago mm-hmm. that I've already finished. It's very different to what I just talked about. It's almost like a comedy thing, but it's a futuristic situation where essentially like the internet has kind of taken over. Mm. And if you are rich enough and you're about to die, you can upload your conscience. And then you can like book book to be put somewhere. This specific show is about Lakeview, which is like a online world where then these people have a room booked mm-hmm. ready for when they pass away so they can continue living there. Mm-hmm. And then as a living being, you can like VR visit them and stuff
That's
like
so
that.
That's so scary.
Yeah. Ooh. And it starts with this guy who's in a relationship with one of these like super rich girls mm-hmm. and he's just about to launch a free version mm-hmm. of this afterlife so everyone can have access to it, because obviously throughout the show it's kind of explained like there is a massive like pit, like gap between like people who can afford it and then people who, you know, mm-hmm. can't, and a lot of people also don't want to do it because they just want to pass away. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's like the main like sort of story about it, and then he gets killed and obviously that's like what happened there, like mm-hmm. he wanted to do a free version of it and suddenly
plot twist. But
he doesn't actually die, and she then she makes him sign in his last like breath, like sign to be uploaded, and that's where the story kind of begins. Like he becomes an upload and he's trying to figure out, his memory's all damaged, like he doesn't remember making this app, you know, like, and then like, but it is quite comedic in a sense, like, and
so it's not too, this sounds quite scary.
No, it's not actually, there's a lot of comedy in it. Yeah, it's like the ground of it, like it could be really serious, it could be like a really serious science fiction, but it's quite funny. Like it's like futuristic comedy, but I love the first two seasons, and I watched the third season and enjoyed it as well.
And where can you watch that, Vanessa?
That's on Amazon.
Well, I watched part one of season six of The Crown last night. Has anyone else seen?
No, I'm sort of saving it. The critic, it came out on Thursday.
Yeah.
And the critics last week. Immediately, it was like a flood of like terrible reviews, which I don't know if they had been like shaped by a lot of the pre-discourse, which has been, you know, quite negative around the fact that we're obviously inching closer to present day with dealing with Princess Diana's death in this season, which is obviously a very sensitive topic. And there was a sort of spoiler online, wasn't there, that she is coming back in a couple of episodes after her death as a ghost that people took quite badly.
Okay, I did not read this. Yeah. Interesting. I think that's quite disrespectful.
Yeah, so there have been other seasons of The Crown where I have literally like binged all of it in like 3 days. Like I've almost had to ration myself. Mm. I've enjoyed it that much.
Yeah.
But this one I haven't even started yet. And however, I will say that my mum texted me on Saturday and she was like, I've watched all four. It's brilliant.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've watched 3 out of 4. And I agree. I don't think it's as good as the early series. Mm. But I think that's because for me, it was more of a historical take.
Yes, whereas I always say this about The Crown, which is like the best thing about it is that it teaches me things I didn't know.
Right. Exactly. In like the 40s and beyond, where obviously we weren't alive. Whereas now it feels like we know the story. Is this really adding anything that we didn't really know? Probably not. Mm. So I would still recommend it, but I'll be interested to see when part two drops.
Yeah.
Because that is definitely close to the present day, and this is the last series, so after this,
so do the first four not cover her her car crash? Or
yes, it's up until the car crash. Okay. And then the aftermath of that as well. Okay. And then that's where it stops, okay. I think. But we shall see.
Yeah, because the next part comes out...
mid-December. Okay. Yeah, so you've got a while. You've got a month to watch that. Mm. And then we'll rediscuss when that part is out. And we'll see when the ghost comes through, because that sounds very strange.
Weird,
doesn't
it? Yeah.
Yes.
Much. No.
Yeah. Apparently she comes back to visit Charles.
Well, I'll circle back in a month when part two drops. Mm. Anyway, should we answer some questions?
Yeah.
Oh, I like this one. I'm going to come to you, Polly.
Okay.
So someone has asked, how do you shop for high street pieces and feel like you're not wasting money?
That's okay. Well, I guess it's, I suppose, in what context you feel like you're wasting money, whether it's like a trend piece that's fleeting or whether it's mm-hmm. the quality aspect. Well, let's go from the kind of quality aspect. I think there's nothing wrong with shopping high street, first and foremost. You can get some great, great pieces on the high street. Absolutely. I just think when I do that, I think I just always make a habit to check the label for like the fabric composition, and generally speaking I find certain fabrics last a bit longer, mm-hmm. Whether that's like it's a higher percentage of cotton mm-hmm. or wool, a bit less polyester mm-hmm. for example, and I guess that from perspective of being wasteful and things like that, mm-hmm. that's better for the planet, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
And then if it's on the trend side, I think you can still buy into trends, but really ask yourself whether it's a piece that you can see yourself wearing in mm-hmm. a year's time, and whether you're buying it because you've seen other people wearing it or because you really like it. I think I've mentioned it, and lots of other people mention it, but like, you know, if you see a trend piece and you love it, ask yourself, you know, can you think of five outfits that you'd wear this with?
Mm,
and
if you can't,
then don't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe just give it some time. Like, don't impulse buy. Yeah. Maybe just think, okay, like, this is cool. Give it a week mm-hmm. or 2 weeks. If you're still thinking about it, then buy it.
Yeah, that's good advice. Mm-hmm. I also think you should look at, like, the seams, like, the detailing. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's a jacket, are there threads coming out? Can you see if the fabrication is, like, good quality? Mm-hmm. Vanessa, we're big fans of the high street, obviously. Mm-hmm. Any other tips to add?
Well, I think as well, for me, like, I've done it before where I'd buy something from the high street, like a jumper that looked really nice, and then you wash it once and it looks suddenly like really weird. Mm. So I recommend, and I do this now with all my clothes, no matter how expensive they are, mm-hmm. to like really carefully wash them. Like, mm-hmm. you know, have a look at, again, like, yeah, what's it made out of? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, do I really need to like wash it like after every use? Like, especially when it's like a jumper, because they will not last as long. And I mean, yeah, the high street it's difficult because of course, like, you know, they reproduce a lot of clothes. So, like, environmentally speaking, it's, like, the worst place to go. But at the same time, we have to understand not everyone can, like...
Yeah. More affordable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's affordable. And there is some really nice pieces. Mm-hmm. What I find as well, sometimes when I see something I really like, I check Vinted if someone mm-hmm. has bought it in the wrong size, not returned it in time. That I think
that's a really good
point. That is so true.
And then you
yes.
can get it, yeah.
Yeah, often, that's a great eBay, show. Vinted, yeah. Depop, all of those places are so good. And, like, you're right, like, people buy things, leave mm-hmm. it too long to return them, or they've bought the wrong size, or whatever, they can't be bothered to
return it.
That's
a good hack.
Yeah. Maybe that makes you feel a bit better, and you can usually get a bargain.
Exactly. And you feel smug, like, oh, it's from Vinted.
But, yeah, in general, I'd say, like, treat it as if it was an expensive piece. Like, don't... You know, like, I know it was only £20, but you can still treat it very well.
Yeah.
When you wash it the way you know, mm-hmm. when you wear it, these sort mm-hmm. of things.
Good advice. Okay, next, quickly. Recommendations for good winter boots. Walking a lot, but want to look chic.
Oh, I feel like I need this question answering. Yeah, the thing that I've done this year is really try and get into that, like, look that's either like a cape boot or a totem boot, like small kitten heels, sort of like but not as substantial as that. That's what I need, because what I've been getting is like almost a it's not like stiletto height, but it's like stiletto girth. And they do not last, like the heel caps on them literally
they're
wear
quite
off
hard
so fast.
Well, these are quite good, guys. They're from M&M, and I don't know if you can see it for those that are watching on the YouTube, but they're kind of from the side look like they could be stiletto, but they're wider, so a bit sturdier, and also like kind of last a bit longer than a stiletto. They are slightly pricier, but I love them and they've really kind of molded to my feet nicely.
Oh, that's nice.
And they're so bloody comfortable. Mm, like, yeah. You know, they look quite chic. I can wear them for the evening.
Or an ankle boot for anyone listening
yes,
as well.
Yes, an ankle boot, yeah. Sorry, I should say. With slightly elongated pointed toe, which is great chic. With like, yeah. Thank you, yeah, with a wide leg nice. Trouser. So yeah, they work for daytime and evening. I know we talk about that a lot, but they genuinely do. So nice. I think if you're looking for a slightly cheaper option, Massimo Dutti and H&M have some quite similar options.
Nice. Thanks, ladies. Okay, let's do one more. Well, speaking of Stockholm and Copenhagen, you've been to Polly. Mm. Best places for city breaks or your, let's go for your favourite places. I would say mine is probably, obviously Paris, that's so obvious, but Stockholm and anywhere Scandi, like Oslo, go north, even like Reykjavik,
yeah.
Really cool and great food. Harriet?
Yeah. I love Seville for a weekend. Mm-hmm. I think that's really gorgeous. It's got some really nice sort of quite low-key and affordable hotels, but they're done really nicely and the architecture's really good. The food's obviously stunning. So yeah, I'd really recommend Seville.
Love that. Nice year round as well.
Pretty much, yeah. Like you can still go sort of, I mean, maybe now it's start to be getting a bit cold, but October time, really lovely. I mean, height of summer is actually going to be probably too much for a lot of people.
That's so, true. Yeah.
Really good.
Polly, anywhere?
I always bang on about Lisbon. I think it's my favourite European city. But yeah, I would say Stockholm or Copenhagen, also great for this time of year. If you're willing to kind of embrace the cold and just go knowing that it's a chilly city break, it's quite cozy.
Yes. So, yeah. True. Mm-hmm. And Vanessa, I mean, you're an international girly, but where's your favorite?
Copenhagen is on the top of my list of what I want to do. I've never been. But I was going to say for winter as well, Vienna. Like, I feel like really it's like, one. Especially right now, it'll be
so pretty. Oh,
so nice for Christmas.
Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then Paris, obviously.
You can't go wrong.
Always Paris, but can't really say that. I feel like that's so obvious. So I'm going to stick with Vienna on this one.
Yeah.
Vienna, yeah, that's a good shout. Great food, I've heard as well. Right, I think we will leave it there, but thank you so much for listening. If you have any feedback at all, please do email us at podcast@sherlux.com. You can also look out for the question box on Instagram every week, or you can ask your questions on the Sherlux community at community.sherlux.com. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe and tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.